The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From Romania, Professor Diane Manica.
Well, and now we have to say it right. Diana Manica.
Oh, Manica. Lord. Oh, geez.
And I'm here.
I really
from
have
Romania.
Said it wrong pretty much every time.
It's not Transylvania, is it?
That's right.
My grandmother came from there, so
Lord.
Watch out.
Yep.
Wallachia, very interesting.
She's got great teeth.
I bet.
From the Great White North, it is Professor David Chow.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always.
Canada. Excellent.
How do you say Merry Christmas in Canada?
Merry Christmas in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, but what about in Quebec, eh?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's about the same.
Happy
yeah.
Christmas,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, that too. Pass the poutine.
Pass the gravy boat to make some poutine. From the deep south of North Carolina, that's the
not
little
that
joke.
Deep. Not that deep.
Just from the deep south of the north, it's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Howdy.
Howdy. You're going down there for the holiday.
Heading down, yes. Heading down cool. on the 21st.
Down, up, and around.
Down, up, and around, yes.
All over.
Hooking around.
You wouldn't now that's an interesting
deep
term.
What's deep? What's deep south? If North
oh, Mississippi, like, Alabama, yeah. South Georgia.
So just middle south, Atlantic
and
south.
Louisiana.
And Louisiana, yeah.
That makes sense.
But
that
never the Keys. Yeah.
Never
why
the
is that?
I don't know.
You know, like Florida's never really considered deep south, what Mississippi
parts
is.
Parts of it are, but they're kind
the
of
north
localized.
Of it is
it's
the
in
south.
The northern part of Florida. Yeah.
From parts where? Unknown, Professor Dan Maggio.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Mm-hmm.
Parts
mm-hmm.
unknown. How are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You make him sound like a wrestler.
Hailing from parts unknown. And weighing in at, I'm not going to try to do it.
Too much information.
35 pounds.
We wouldn't be able sure. to see you if you weighed 135
wait,
pounds.
Sure. You're a midget wrestler?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my.
Oh, it's yeah, I think it's radio, months. Isn't it?
Unbelievable.
All the imagination.
And last but certainly not least, from the land of yints, right? Professor Jason Roach.
The Roach Man.
I don't know. Who is that?
Isn't that Pittsburgh?
Oh, yins.
Yes, yins.
Oh,
okay. So.
Yins.
Y'all use guys know what I'm
like
talking
Japanese
about?
Japanese currency.
Yes,
excellent.
Downtown.
Downtown? Wow.
Downtown?
There's
downtown.
So much I don't understand
Pittsburgh?
About
yep.
Pittsburgh.
Downtown. That's where you're
downtown.
From. That's where I got a sandwich.
A sandwich in Pittsburgh? Downtown?
Downtown.
Profs, this is a program where you can... no, listeners, sheesh. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Profs, feel free to send questions, too. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. Here are some Christmas questions, mixed up with a little bit of true and false and trivia. The day after Thanksgiving is the biggest shopping day of the year in America as measured by number of transactions and money.
No,
false.
I don't think so.
It is false. Do you know what the biggest shopping
Monday
day?
Monday after.
The day after
no, the,
Christmas.
The day before Christmas.
Day before
it's
Christmas.
Christmas Eve.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Christmas
most
Eve
transactions?
Is the
really?
Biggest.
Oh, yes. Everybody going to 7-Eleven to buy this last
I've seen those people.
I am those
I've
people.
Been those people.
I've been those people.
I was going to say, how did you see them if you weren't there?
Oops. Just give me a Slurpee and a Slim Jim. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The source of, do you guys know the term that's used? Because it applied first to Christmas songs. Misheard lyrics are known in the literary world as what concept? What is the name of a misheard lyric? It started with misheard lyrics in Christmas songs. That's why it's...
Misheard.
Yes. I know...
I don't know that I understand
not a malaprop.
Basic.
Yeah.
It's not a malaprop. I think that's just switching the first two letters. Like
a
King
Miley
Richard
Cyrus
instead
remake.
Of Ring Kitchard.
Oh, okay.
They're called mondegreens, is what they're called. It has to do with a famous British poem and his lady something that ends with green, and then if you read it all together, it sounds like you're saying the word mondegreen. But Christmas is full of, we know Professor Tubbs likes Christmas carols, right? Songs that you can mishear the lyrics for
yes.
and attribute them to the wrong
well,
turn of phrase.
Well, hymns in general have a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Give us one. Come on. We got to come up with at least one.
Well, my mother's favorite growing up was there is an Easter song, Low in the Grave He Lay.
Yes. Jesus,
but she always thought it was Low in the Gravy.
what was that one? Hark the Herald or Herald the Angel or whatever. What's that one?
Hark the Herald.
Hark the Herald Angel Sing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was like,
Harold Angel.
Harold?
I mean, and Round John version.
The one that I think of, I think mondegreens specifically apply to things that are sung, and that's how they're misheard. But my dad, taught me from a very young age because he couldn't handle that we had gotten rid of the Latin Mass that God's phone number was Et Cum Spiri 220 because he heard that so many times during the Mass that he just assumed that we should call him up. let's see. Oh, wow. We have some Canadiana here, so go to our ringer.
Aha.
Santa does have a postal code in Canada.
H-O-H-O.
Yes. Actually, there's zeros, though. They're not O's. Yeah. So H-0-H-0-H-0 is...
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho is Santa's postal code. That's right.
Ho, ho, ho.
Was the modern image of Santa Claus created by the Coca-Cola company?
Thomas Nast.
It was the illustrator, not Coca-Cola, who came up with the modern image of Santa. I believe Coke got the images from him and licensed them and everything that happens after that. What is unique about a light display in Italy that boasts that it's the world's largest Christmas tree? What is unique about it?
There's no tree?
Very close.
It's all lights.
There's no tree. Kind of all those things together. Any other ideas?
Does that cover everything?
Yeah, pretty much covers everything.
Oh.
You know, it is up the side of a mountain in the shape of a tree, incorporating thousands of trees.
Oh,
that's
gross.
Is what it is. And when you look at it from way back, it looks like a tree.
Gotcha. Okay.
Some people, maybe not all people, but some people know that NORAD in North America here actually tracks Santa's progress with the passage of the sun over the face of the globe. But do you know why NORAD tracks Santa's progress on Christmas Eve?
So they don't shoot him down?
Yes.
So they don't accidentally missile him down?
They can go to sleep before he comes to their house?
No, that's not the reason. It's actually a very unique piece of trivia that has really only come to light in the last few years.
Because we wanted to trick the Russians?
Probably, yes.
Well, you might, let's put it this way, you might expect... If someone's going to track Santa's progress, it might be like the military in general, like the military-industrial complex, the Department of Defense, the Army. But why NORAD? Any you guys haven't heard this?
They got nothing better to do? I mean...
Really close. Sears once had a call and talk to Santa hotline where they misprinted the phone number, and it was the main line at NORAD. This is God's truth. After getting upset with the number of calls they were getting, they said, we're going to hire a guy during the season to answer that phone. And ever since then, they've started the tradition of tracking Santa.
That's the coolest story ever.
It's
been easier just to put a message that says...
I could have done my voice.
The
number you have reached is a working number. Please hang up and try again.
It is a working number.
There you go.
Yep, that is the truth.
NORAD is out of business. Please call another number.
Yes.
If you wish to speak with NORAD, press 1.
If there is a worldwide nuclear emergency,
yes.
Press 2.
Para español, prima 8.
You've lost us.
Yep, I think.
There we go.
It's over. Hello, Professor Mayo, and esteemed question marks panel. She wrote question marks.
Well, we're steamed. I don't know about esteemed.
It's a little warm.
There were server problems over there at UDM over Thanksgiving, so I didn't get to listen to that weekend's podcast when I intended. Consequently, I used the time to write up another set of questions for you to tackle whenever Michael Jason decides to give them to you.
That's
1, 2, 3, now. You may decide amongst yourselves whether this is a fortuitous side effect of the server problem or punishment for same, huh?
It's punishment.
You're faithful, long-time listener.
We had the same guys that did the healthcare website working on our server.
You're a faithful, long-time listener from Van Nuys, California, Kimberly Richards. Her email is signed off, once you've seen one shopping center, you've seen them all.
Nice.
Oh, that's Jason worthy.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Okay. With shows posted, these are TV shows we're talking about, as recently as 1994, could you name for me the top 10 most watched drama TV show series finales? Let's not worry about order here, although I might MASH. Reveal what number MASH. One is.
Yeah. Oh, nice. It's going to be MASH? After 1990.
That's a comedy.
Yeah, MASH is not floating the boat here.
This is after 94, yes.
Well, see a lot from, I see one or two from the 60s.
Dallas.
What was the 1994 thing?
No, I'm just saying, as recently as with shows, as recently as 1994.
That's recent, mm-hmm. Okay.
But I see some from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s here in the top 10.
Sounds like an adult contemporary.
ER is not here on the list.
St. Dallas.
St. Elsewhere is number 6. Dallas is number 2.
Dynasty?
Dynasty, I don't see.
No. Hill Street Dynasty?
Blues? Hill Street Blues, I don't see.
Law and Order?
Let's
That's still
see.
On, isn't
and
it?
These are dramas?
Yeah, oh, dramas, only. Come before. Dramas only. Dramas only.
L.A. Law? Was it L.A.
Law? L.A. Law is number 9.
Oh, yes. Wow. Called?
Perry Mason.
No Perry Mason. No. Nope.
Something from the 60s.
Oh, wait, let me try to...
Dragnet.
Yeah, Gunsmoke is actually number 3.
Bonanza.
No Dragnet,
wow.
Though. Bonanza's not there. Hmm. Number 1 on the list aired 5/8/1988. 50.7 million viewers. If all I say is that this image right here appeared on a blue ball cap on that show.
Magnum P.I.
Which I'm kind of wondering whether we should call that a drama, but while we think about it, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your holiday host, Kathy Bush, and today we have our regulars back with us. What does the 12th night actually mean?
It's the 12th night after Epiphany.
It is Epiphany.
It is. It's a feast day known to Canadians as Little Christmas. We cannot take down our tree until after Little Christmas. Oh, that is a family tradition.
And then you can put it in front or what?
Yes. And it is watched and stalked as they take it away. Yeah, there's a truck that comes around and throws all of the dried out limbs.
My gosh.
There.
Her father is a trash fanatic. Oh, it has to be picked up. And
all right.
Yeah, it has to be done times that way.
Then they get put through that wood chipper in Fargo.
And we are back with some wonderful questions from Kimberly Richards of Van Nuys, California. Technically, we're on number 1, but we'll get to the rest of them, Kimberly. Don't worry. We had Magnum P.I. as our number 1 top 10 most watched drama series finales from TV. Number 2 is Dallas. 3 was Gunsmoke. Number 4 involved a one-armed man.
The Fugitive.
Oh, The Fugitive. Yeah. Yes. One of the very few things on this list that I actually watched when it first aired, May 23rd, 1994, a sci-fi series, but the next version of it.
Star Trek Next Generation.
Yes.
That's on there?
Yes, that's number 5. Number 6, St. Elsewhere. Number 7, Richard Dean Anderson as...
MacGyver.
He was cool.
Absolutely.
That was a great show.
That's when a mullet was something.
Yeah.
May 21st, 1989, for number 8, Crockett and Tubbs.
Miami Vice.
Last but certainly not least, probably one of the most depressing series finales of all time, another one that I actually watched, 5/5/1993, just a few weeks before I graduated high school. I watched the series finale of another sci-fi series with time travel involved.
The Time Tunnel?
Starring Scott Bakula.
I used to watch this show, and I can't remember it.
Hold on. Dean Stanton was in it. Hold on.
Quantum Leap.
How did that end, by the way? Because I didn't
see it. Well, they had a whole script, as the rumor goes, set up that he was going to finally jump back into his own body and actually go back, but what happens is he goes on from whatever the story was in that episode, and they just throw some words at the bottom. He never made it back home, and then that's the end of the series. Oh, my gosh, that's so horrible.
How depressing. So
he jumped for all eternity or something like that.
So next thing you know, he's like
really sad.
In the body of a mosquito, and he gets swatted.
It was a very unique show. You got to agree.
Yeah, it was that.
Very unique.
But what a horrible
way. That's a terrible way to end it, though.
So now we can go back to a lot of the other things you've already brought up and see if we can do the top 10 most watched comedy series finales with 105.94 million viewers.
MASH
was number 1.
Cheers
is number 2.
Cheers.
Seinfeld's number 3.
All in the Family,
number 6.
Happy was it days? Comedy?
No.
Laverne and Shirley.
Neither of those are on the list.
All those.
Happy Days jumped the shark.
The Cosby Show.
Cosby Show's number 5. Right above it at number 4, the only one we haven't gotten in the top 5 yet, would have been sort of
Golden Girls?
Gen X du jour for the early 90s. Friends, yes, absolutely. Moving on from number six, All in the Family. Kind of vied with The Cosby Show.
Webster? The one where they went off to school.
No, that's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Michael J. Fox's vehicle.
Family Matters.
Local guy does Proud. What Tool if we time? Talked about? Yep, Tool Time was
Tim Allen Show.
Home Improvement.
Is number eight. Spinoff of Cheers is number nine.
Frasier.
Night Court was a great show.
Night Court was a great show.
Clever, funny.
John Larroquette. He was a genius.
And another very, very modern show signed up 5/16/2005 with 32.9 million viewers. I'll just put it out there. It's not going to help you guys, but no, it's a comedy. We're talking.
Oh, Buffy was.
That was a comedy.
Drama.
Yeah.
Kind of a drama.
No, it was, I mean, if I say it's Ray Romano's show, so.
Everybody Loves Raymond?
Everybody Loves Raymond, yeah. I have to say,
not everybody, trust
multiple.
Not everybody.
You know, by listening to that as the 10th show tells me that we don't have a lot of good comedy.
Yeah, it's true. I did not think that show was funny. I'm sorry.
I thought it was funny.
Sorry.
Do you kids like Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. But that's not, well, that's not over yet. So we haven't had a finale.
Yep. Let's see. Okay. What was the first made-for-TV animated cartoon show that aired on NBC in 1949? Incredible. Mm.
It's got me one of the Disney ones, possibly. Tom
Donald Duck. Mickey Mouse.
I'm not sure you would know this unless you knew it, if you take my drift. This is interesting. It involves an animal. Let's see.
Woody Woodpecker?
Nope, not Woody Woodpecker.
Felix
not
the Cat?
Bugs Bunny.
Felix. Let's see if we can put this together. So what was it when Christians began to invade the Holy Land?
Crusade.
Okay. So the first word is crusader.
The crusader
the second
cat.
Is
crusader
a rabbit.
Cat.
Crusader.
Crusader cat.
The crusader bunny.
I blew it again. I'm crusader? Doing it once a week now. Yeah, Crusader Rabbit was the name of the show. It's just really weird.
Wow.
I know nothing about it. No, absolutely nothing about it.
Never heard of it.
NBC's fall 1983 schedule achieved notoriety, parentheses, infamy, for something that happened for the first. And so far, it has never happened again in TV network history.
They had all the top 10 shows?
It? No, I imagine
top
what
three?
The exact opposite of that
oh.
would be.
Oh, they
for
didn't
instance.
Have any.
No,
oh.
even worse. The shows
they didn't
were.
Have any shows.
The shows were just Manimal, Jennifer Slept Here, Boone, Bay City Blues, We Got It Made, Mr. Smith, For Love and Honor, The Rousters, and The Yellow Rose. That was their primetime lineup.
They all got canceled.
God.
Every single show was canceled by the end of the season.
Wow. I thought The Cosby Show came out in 83.
Wow. No, I think that was 84. I want to say it was 84.
I'm going to guess it was 84.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Along with the new management.
You got to really stink to put that many episodes
in. Okay, I will admit, I remember Manimal. That show is that awful.
What was that
about? Simon McCorkindale played the guy. I remember that much.
Did
he change into a fish?
He changed into a puma, a fish, a bird, whatever he needed.
You
got to
be kidding me. Oh my gosh!
That sounds horrible.
The fake TV shows
that
they
was,
talk about
that
in The
was
Simpsons
almost
are better
as
than
Auto Man. If anybody remembers that,
I used to watch Auto Man.
They turned into a car.
No, it was a computer.
Yeah. And do you remember who started the sidekick? Was Desi Arnaz Jr.
Wow.
Really?
Oh my gosh! Wow.
That was terrible.
Trivia.
Yes. Who did Ted Cassidy play on The Addams Family?
Lurch. And Thing.
He played both roles. Absolutely. Mm. Speaking of The Addams Family, what was Morticia Addams' maiden name? This is a great,
Hold on,
great
I remember. This is a good question.
Smith?
I don't know.
If someone is wearing, you know, holiday connection here, someone is wearing a particularly oversized and very ugly-looking sweater, you might describe them as looking...
Frumpy?
Frump was
Oh, that's right. Morticia Frump.
Morticia Frump, yes.
And
I'm glad that you gravitated.
Her sister would come to visit.
That's one of my favorite, remember?
And then there was the ever-enchanting cousin, It.
Of course.
Felix Silla.
This question, I'm not quite sure of its veracity, with all due respect to Kimberly, but it sounds pretty fascinating. It makes me start to wonder. It says, what was the first feature movie based on a TV show?
Star Trek?
1954 was the movie. I'd love to know whether this is true or not, because it's a great piece of trivia.
Dragnet
is exactly what it was. Absolutely.
Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks?
Not the same one.
1954.
Jack Webb and...
Just the facts, ma'am.
Yep.
Arguably, what was the biggest box office failure based on a TV show, 1994.
So many. Depending.
Would it help you if I went into my microphone and went, ooh, ooh?
Apparently you didn't.
No. Oh, the Honeymooners.
Not the Honeymooners.
No. Urkel?
No. Nope.
Family Matters?
No. Nope.
Urkel.
Urkel. Oh, hold on. Were you doing Arnold Horshack imitation? Because I don't remember the Welcome Back.
No, Potter Kids? No, 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 like no. I guess I watched TV Land before a lot of other people did. You guys aren't jumping on this, huh?
No.
I'm trying to remember who played it in the 94 movie, but I remember Fred Gwynne was one of the two police officers.
Oh, Car 54, Where Are You?
Car 54, Where Are You?
They made that into a movie?
Yeah, 1994. Oh. Apparently, he didn't do very well. He could have helped him.
Because none of us knew it was out there.
I like the TV show. There's a hold up in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem. That's back up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout short a child. Khrushchev's Jew at Idlewild. Car 54, Where Are You?
Nice.
That dates it. Pre-64.
What was the actor who did the little ooh ooh sound every time he talked?
Officer Tootie.
Officer
Tootie.
What
was his name?
Yeah,
I can see him, but I can't see who it
sort
is.
Sort of a.
I have no idea.
Yeah, there you go. All right, see.
Oh, I think the biggest box office flop was Eddie Murphy's The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Oh,
yikes!
I never saw it.
Don't. Just don't.
I know Dan loves Eddie Murphy movies, but.
Colin Child is like one of the worst movies, I think.
I know, we've talked about that a lot.
It is a very
but you gotta love Coming to America.
No, it's terrible.
Stop. Dan watches them for Kish only.
He's waiting for Tom Cruise to enter any moment. That's
it. Which major television personality does Saturday Night Live, at least indirectly, owe its creation to?
It's created by Lorne Michaels back
in 1975, someone included in their new contract with NBC a clause ending in the best of this person reruns on Saturday nights. And this did not do very well and basically...
What, like Don Kirshner?
No.
Oh, the Johnny guy
Johnny
from
Carson.
The Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny
really?
Show. Yeah.
A little bit of venom there, huh? Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. It,
jealousy.
Being that I'm only about to enter my 40s, am I catching on with, you know, the eye of time here? I remember watching Johnny's last show. Everybody did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And since then, the image may have tarnished just a little bit.
Just a little
That's
bit.
That's all I got to say. Who did NBC almost hire to host The Tonight Show before Carson?
Joan Rivers.
Nope.
Before Carson. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Bill Cullen, Parr, who else is around?
I'm thinking old school comedy here.
Groucho Marx,
yep.
Wow.
He was still alive then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Still
that
thinking.
Would have been interesting.
Yep. Yep.
It would have been funnier.
Possibly. Who holds the record for longest portrayal of a single role in prime time?
That's got to be one of those Gunsmoke shows.
It's Gunsmoke. 20 years this person portrayed this role. 20 years.
Will Arness?
Yes. James Arness.
James Arness.
Sheriff
James
Matt Dillon. Yep.
He was what's-his-face's brother? Peter Graves' brother.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I find that interesting, Profs, because you already know about my obsession with The Simpsons, and they've been on for 27 years now. So it's is that portraying the same role for that long? You know,
even yeah, just same multiple voice roles, acting? Actually.
Yeah. There you go.
And they never age.
Yep.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Who holds the all-time record for longest portrayal of a single role on television?
Is this a
soap opera, yes. As the World Turns, let's see, started in 1956 and finished until shortly before her death in 2010.
Is it a female?
Yeah, yes.
Wow. She's the
I can picture
matriarch.
Her. Mrs.
No.
The name, if I'm catching it correctly, of the actress is H.W. And the role is N.H.M. Initials.
Helen Williams?
Helen is correct. It says here it's Helen Wagner.
Okay.
Nancy Hughes McCloskey.
That's a very long role.
That's all I've got to say.
I can remember back in the 60s, she was always having people at her table serving coffee. And I was thinking they must have been wired because every other scene was somebody else coming in. Because this is how all the gossip got collected,
Right. Over coffee.
She would host them in her home. Yeah.
One of Charlie's original Charlie's Angels was never shown wearing a bathing suit.
Kate Jackson, Sabrina.
Yes, you're both correct. You can both be right. Hooray. What is the longest running series on TV with a predominantly female cast? Ran from 1979 to 1988.
That was before Golden Girls.
Before Golden Girls. Mm-hmm. Although that lasted quite a bit too, didn't it?
Alice?
Not Alice.
Oh,
good guess. But that started later than 79. Mm-hmm.
On this show, they would take the good, and then they would take the bad.
The Facts of Life.
It was The Facts of Life.
You take them all,
Tody and
there
Fields.
You have
The Facts of
Tody
Life.
Tody Fields just had her second baby.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. What landmark television event happened October 20th, 1951? Something was shown on TV for the very first
something
time.
Something in color?
Foosball.
Not foosball. The first televised foosball
What
match.
Was the date again?
October 20th, 1951.
Hmm. World Series.
Nope. 1951. Nope, that's a great guess, though.
That is a good guess.
October. Is it Rose Bowl parade?
Is it related to politics?
It's not related to politics. Related it's in general to the industry.
Broadcast. What, like a particular... Like ABC airs or NBC?
Getting closer.
CBS?
Has to do with CBS.
CBS News with Walter Cronkite. What?
First Evening News? First...
Wink. What? What, you got a sign in your eye?
Wink
what?
Letter?
Oh, the NBC, this, the CBS
the logo. The unblinking eye was shown for the first time as the logo of CBS. Yeah,
that's a tough one to get.
Yes.
Great questions.
Very hard to do over the radio, too, when I'm
I was like, you got something in your eye there, man. What's going on?
Something's wrong. It was the grapefruit. We have to say goodbye, Professor Manica.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Maggio.
Merry Christmas.
Professor Roach.
In the words of Brother Wheeze from Rochester, New York, it's nice to be important. But it's more important to be nice.
Oh,
that's true. And now these words.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Sleigh Bell Orchestra brings us Ask the Professor. I'm your host on this Christmas program, Edwin DeWint, and today we have all of our regular panelists with us, gathered around the Christmas tree. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Sure. I mean, it's a great pleasure to be here, as always, and the top of the season to you all.
Yes. You're... All right. On his right...
George is opening all his presents.
I know it. That's his trouble.
Well, I mean, here we are.
Can't you wait?
The very day...
It's so greedy.
And we're on the radio.
I know.
You want me to have my mind focused?
Well...
I can't do that.
Visions of sugar plums.
Today.
That was Robert O'Neill from the Department of Psychology. And to his right, from the Department of History, looking very elfin, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Who wrote that? Oh, we're not into the
questions. No, not in the questions yet. No. And on her...
Most of the questions you hear on this program are asked by our listeners.
And on Sarah's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Hello, ho, ho, Edwin.
Oh, ho, ho. Clever. Our first set of questions are sent in from Neil Rifkin of Livonia, Michigan. Christmas-type questions.
Oh, good.
He says, I'll give you a country's name for Christmas, and you give me the country.
Okay, Sweden.
Noel.
France.
That's right. Yule.
Jule, mm-hmm. Sweden?
No.
Norway?
No.
England?
Well, it's part of that.
Scotland?
Yes, Scotland, yes. Weihnachten?
Germany.
That's right. And
that
Navidad?
Sounds German.
Spain.
That's right.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's ask it again.
We can
I mean,
sing.
I got all
that's
that.
It.
That was
yeah.
really
Bailey's Navidad. Bailey's Navidad. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
George.
Just a little musical interlude here.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile. Happy New Year!